Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree." 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 25. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. With what status do you worship God? Do you worship God as a non-believer who was not born again, which means with the status of the old self? Or do you worship God with the status of the new self whose spirit was born again? If you worship God with their born-again status, I believe you listen to preaching as the personality of a new self, not the old self. I'll read Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 for you. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Please hold your Bible in your right hand and repeat what I say. I believe that the Bible is the living word of God. I believe that the living word heals my spirit, soul, and body. I believe that the living word is the power to change my personality and life. Amen. In Jesus' name, I bless all of you so that you can renew your hearts, heal illnesses in your spirit, soul, and body, and be healthy. Jesus came to the world as the only Son of God through the prophecy in the Old Testament. What had Jesus, who came to this world 2,000 years ago, fulfilled? When Jesus died on the cross of Golgotha, he said, "It is finished." What did he finish? God, who was the Word, came to people as a man in the form of a human and resolved the most difficult problems that men were not able to resolve. Therefore, Christians means those who believe the things that the Lord had fulfilled on the cross, walk by faith, and receive actualized benefits in life. Let's go over what Jesus finished on the cross. First, he finished the problem with the curse that men would not be able to resolve. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 to 19, it says, "To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you are taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." We are cursed by the sin of Adam, our forefather. But Jesus was hung on the cross and pierced by the crown of thorns to be cursed on behalf of us. Thorns are the symbol of the curse. He shed blood by piercing his face and head with thorns on the cross in payment of the curse on us. As a result, those who believe in Jesus as their Savior and serve and trust in him are saved and freed from the curse. The cross Jesus was nailed on is the symbol of the curse. Through Jesus' suffering on the cross, we are relieved from the curse and the punishment of sin. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.'" What is the curse of the law? In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 to 19, it says, "However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. The fruit of your womb will be cursed, and the crops of your land, and the calves of your herds, and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out." Those who do not obey the word of God are to be put under these curses. Adam and his descendants who did not obey the word of God and committed sin were put under the curse of the law reluctantly. This curse is applied to everyone regardless of being a Jew or Gentile. What is the meaning of the curse? Curse is the opposite of the word bless. Curse means wanting someone to be ruined. In God's point of view, the curse is used to express judgment. In other words, it is used to mean disciplinary action and punishment for protection. In the scriptures, it is written that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law by being hung on the cursed cross. Redeem means buying back a man sold as a slave by paying a price. We were slaves captured under the curse of the law, but Jesus was hung high on the cursed cross to redeem us. A further explanation is, we who were suffering in the cursed land that produces thorns and thistles are redeemed by Jesus, who died on the cross in payment of our sin. Therefore, when we believe in Jesus' great work and live the life that recognizes the authority of God and obey Him, the grace of redemption comes upon us so that the thorns and thistles will be removed. Second, by being whipped and pierced with a lance, Jesus' human body was crushed, which resulted in the healing of our weaknesses and illnesses. Men started to have illness due to sin, which gives them physical and mental suffering, and Jesus accounted for our sin and all kinds of illness and sufferings with His body. In today's scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed." Also, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, it says, "But He was pierced for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His wounds we are healed." Jesus, the Son of God, came to us in a human body due to our sin, illness, and curse, and was pierced and wounded, and He died for us. Therefore, when we believe in Jesus, we must affirm what Jesus actually finished and acknowledge it in our hearts, and then practice it in our daily lives. Third, Jesus died and faced judgment on behalf of men who are to die and face judgment due to their sin. Men as sinners must die, as is the wage of sin by the righteous law. At the judgment on the last day, they must be put into the fire of hell, thus carrying out execution due to their sin. However, men's deaths resulting from their sin were paid off because Jesus died on the cross for the redemption. Then He was resurrected with eternal life that the power of death cannot overcome. Those who receive Jesus Christ in their heart and live by the faith in Him have no death and judgment at all. In John chapter 3, verses 17 to 18, it says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." For me and you who are serving God now, do we have death and judgment? Or are we free from death and judgment? Whoever believes in the freedom from death and judgment, say Amen. Even though all of us have not done anything for God, He sent us Jesus Christ and resolved our curse, illness, suffering, death, and judgment that we were not able to resolve on our own, and let us enjoy complete freedom from all these problems. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." This is what we call favor. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, Apostle Paul said, "I tell you, now is the time of God's favor, now is the day of salvation." Now we have the day of salvation through God's favor, but we shouldn't blot out His favor that we have already received. In John chapter 1, verses 14 to 16, it says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John testifies concerning Him. He cries out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because He was before me.' From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another." In this scripture, one blessing after another means consecutive grace or favor. In other words, those who received His grace must receive more grace continuously. Jesus said it in the parable in Luke chapter 19, verses 15 to 27. "He was made king, however, and returned home. Then He sent for the servants to whom He had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit so that when I came back I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. He replied, 'I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.'" In this parable, A man of noble birth gave money to his servants to make a profit before he went out to be appointed king. When he returned home, he checked how hard his servants had worked for him. Likewise, God wants his born-again children to show progress in their lives. That's why he gives out his favor to each one. Any of you who have received his grace must produce another grace from him. Then God will give abundant grace to you. That is what one blessing after another means. On the contrary, if anyone who received basic favor does not produce another favor out of the basic one, he would be forfeiting the basic one and will ruin his life. In Jesus' name, I bless all of you to produce more grace like one blessing after another and become faithful servants of God who will receive abundant grace.